You would turn to the third book of John as we complete the series of John, and next week we will teach on the book of Jude, and then come January we'll be into Revelation. Praise the Lord for that. Before we start, let's pray. Father, we enter into your presence once again that you would set aside the worries of the day, the concerns of life, anything that's happening around us that would distract us, Lord. That we would feed upon your word, hear your message through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that I would be an empty vessel, anointed by your Spirit, Lord, that you would speak through for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, in 1 John, it's about a life with God. 2 John, about God's truth. As we studied, we talked about the agnostics that spoke of Jesus not coming in the flesh, that everything that is material is evil, that they believe that Jesus came in the Spirit. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. We spoke in great detail about the Jesus of the Bible who we believe in. There are many different religions that would say, yeah, we believe in Jesus. It doesn't necessarily mean that it is the Son of God. And he that has the Son has life. He that believes that the Son came in the flesh believes also in the Father. He warns us about heresies that come into the church. Men, unnoticed, crept in among us. Be careful that we're not astray, that we know the Scriptures and the truth of the Word as we begin to grow. And here in the third book is about God's way, how we live as godly children. In the flesh, there's a challenge. Can't do it, right? You've tried. We've said, hey, I got this, God, I'll do it, and we can't do it. We find ourselves falling away. Jesus says in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And remember, God's ways are not our ways, the world's ways, but he shows us his way and how we should live as we walk with him. In this epistle, this letter, John deals with specific problems in the church. And he will refer to three personalities in the church for us to learn from. Number one, the encourager named Gaius in verses 1 through 8. The egotist in Diotrephes. And the example in Demetrius in verse 12. And we start in verses 1 through 2. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. The writer here identifies himself as the elder. Presumably the first readers knew who this was. This was John. The Christians have understanding. The Apostle John's writing, the same John who wrote the Gospel of John, John 1, 2, and eventually in Revelations. This is John. This is a man who has given his life to serve the Lord, who the Lord speaks through to us today. These texts were written so long ago, and yet he wants us to understand how good God is, how much he loves us. He wishes for the best for Gaius. He says that he would prosper in all things, that he would be in good health as his soul prospers. Listen, that's our prayer for one another, I pray. That all things would be working for good for you, that you would be healthy. As we pray for John, we want the Lord to bless him and heal him, and he would recover from this, that he would be in good health, and that he would prosper. And yet, listen, as believers, our soul prospers daily. We are renewed daily by the power of the Holy Spirit. We win. We do not lose. Although the body may be falling away, and these gray hairs are proof that we're getting older, right? But the Spirit is renewed daily. And as we grow in our spirit, we become stronger and, listen, mighty tools in God's hand to affect and change the lives of the people around us. Listen, to influence those who don't know the truth. Scripture says that we're light. Light illuminates what you cannot see in the darkness. And so because you're a believer, there's a spiritual element about you that illuminates truth around those who don't know the Lord. You ever be around a really peaceful spiritual person and they just emanate God and you don't know why? Well, at least you do now. At least when I was a non-believer, I used to work with this policeman. We were both on the midnight shift. He was older than me. I was 24. 24 at the time, I believe, and he was in his mid-40s, so to me, he's an old man, right? There was something about this guy. He never changed. It didn't matter what situation we were in, fights, arrests, whatever it was, he just had this peace about him and this calmness about him. And I never knew. I know now, but at the time, I had no idea. He was a Christian. He never said a word to me. But everything about him now, I understand, was the illumination of the Spirit of God in him. He had this peace. He wasn't shaken, no matter what happened in his life. And I was watching that. And everybody around him was watching him. And now, after I became a believer, he heard about it. And we began to talk. He says, yeah, I used to pray for you. Thank the Lord, right? And I told him, listen, man, there was just something about you. We don't have to go screaming the gospel down the street. We just need to live as children of God, loving one another, having that peace and that joy. And as I have that peace and joy in my heart, I prosper no matter what's happening around me, right? Listen, as long as Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he was safe in the midst of the storm, right? He was actually walking above the storm, but he had that peace and tranquility as he looked at Jesus. But when he took his eyes off, how did he take his eyes off? He worried. He was concerned about something he shouldn't have had to be concerned about, right? Why? Because Jesus was with him. The Lord was with him. And guess what? The Lord is with you. The Lord is with us. So no matter what happens in our life, if we understand that we live in a fallen world, that we are just here for a short season of time, and then we will be ushered into the presence of our Father by Jesus, listen, our minds will be on God and the things in heaven, right? Not so focused on what's happening here. Listen, Donald Trump isn't the answer for America. Jesus is. Be careful that everybody doesn't sit back and say, okay, everything's going to go great now. Yeah, I don't know. My trust is in God. He is sovereign, right? And so John's letter to Gaius, this friend of his, this brother in Christ, is that he would prosper and with the Lord and that he would have good health, right? The writer of the book, John, wants us to know that this is God's plan for all of us. It doesn't mean it's always going to happen in this order. He doesn't tell us who Gaius is. We're not sure if this is the same man mentioned in the book of Acts and Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and Romans. It's difficult to identify him. We're not sure who he is. But it doesn't really matter because he's writing a letter to him with a heart of love, with a heart of compassion, so that he would be, listen, encouraged. This is the encourager. Are you an encourager in someone's life? Oh, I pray that you are. Listen, I've been a discourager in many people's lives in the past, right? But now that I've come to the saving grace of the Lord, the Holy Spirit now dwells within me, my life begins to change. I'm not that same person. I begin to see people different. Instead of writing people off, oh, that guy's a bum. Wait, he needs Jesus. There's stuff in his life. He needs the Lord, just like we did. And it doesn't matter if you're homeless or you're living in a mansion. We all need the Lord. It doesn't matter where you came from, whether you were prosperous in your life or you were always poor. Listen, no matter what our situation is, Paul tells us to be content in whatever the Lord would have for us. If it's your fault that you've done something wrong, that you find yourself in that situation, then you can change that by renewing of your mind and following the way of the Lord. But listen, God wants the best for us. God wants us to grow in our walk with Him. Now the Name It and Claim It group takes this and runs with it, that you're going to be healed from everything here on earth. Now, we know that's not true, and we'll talk a little bit about that. In verse 2, he says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, be in health, just as your soul prospers. This word prosper literally means to have a good journey. It speaks of walking in hope that things would go well for you, right? That's how we would write a letter to someone. Hey, I hope things go well for you. But the Naaman and Clement teach this, and they hold fast to this camp, that the prosperity teachers refuse by saying God wants everyone to be healthy and prosper financially. But in doing so, they fail to understand that John is not proclaiming a scriptural truth here, but he is offering up a prayer for a friend. Now, we can once again learn from this because the Lord wants us to understand this letter. Now, I want you to be healthy and to prosper, and that could be one of my prayers for you, that you would be healthy and you would prosper. But I understand, listen, as mentioned before, that God's ways are not our ways. We don't understand why things happen. And sometimes, listen, it is only through brokenness and pain that blessings in ministry are born. It's sometimes being flat on your back, hopeless in the world's perspective, that we're crying out to God. And God does a mighty work in our heart and our life as well. How did it happen? I've told you before, back in 1998, I fell and broke my back in three places. And I was out of work for a very long time, many months. And I was a fairly new believer at the time. Well, about 4 years, so the doctor's saying, you can't go back to work. We don't know what you're going to do. You don't want to hear. Who wants to hear those words, right? But the Lord's sovereign. He let it happen. Now, I still don't know why it happened, but here's what I do know. In that time of healing and recovery, when I was flat on my back, laying in bed, looking up. I got nowhere else to go, right? Two up, looking up to the Lord and praying. I had the most wonderful ministry times with God where He comforted me. And He spoke to me through His word. And I began to grow and I began to mature. What had to happen? Maybe He had to put me in my place for a little while so that I would listen to Him. I've told you the story about my neighbor. I had a neighbor who was 98 years old, across the street. Wonderful guy. And he was one of those southern guys. And he talked so slow like this. And I'd come home from work. Now, my family's from New York, so everybody's got issues, right? So I'd come home and he'd want to tell me a whole story and his story would take 20 minutes and I wouldn't have, and I'd be, I gotta go. He'd start telling a story. Now, Tuesday I went to the bank. Well, no, on Monday I go to the bank. Tuesday I go to the mall and I get me, well, sometimes I don't go straight to the, his stories just went on and on and on. Now, there was a time on Wednesdays that everybody would go down to the farm. He was an old farmer, wonderful person. But I was too busy to listen to him. And one day the Lord just knocked on my heart. If you would just shut up and sit still, you might learn something from this man. And I did that. And he began to tell me about all these wonders. He was the mayor of Pompano in his day. He began to do some amazing things. Most of the churches in Pompano Beach, he was part of setting up and getting permits for these churches and doing some amazing things in his day. He was married in this church here. And he began to tell me stories about, there's a church off Sample at the lake over there. What's that called? Anyway, there's a church, New Covenant Church. He was part of that, putting that church together. He got the city to make the road across the lake, all kinds of things that he was a part of. And he began to tell me, listen, I didn't know what to say. I'm just a farmer boy. But I said, Lord, if you give me the words, then I'll go before the city commission. And he did it. And he began to tell me how the Lord began to speak to him. Sometimes God has to stop us in our tracks so we would look and listen. And sometimes it's through hardships. And sometimes it's through injuries. And sometimes it's through illness. So when things happen in our life, we need to look to God and not always ask, why is this happening to me, but what am I going to learn from it, Lord? What do you want to show me in my life? It wasn't that I was sinning, because I was impatient or I had other things to do. Listen, I worked all day. I had to come home. Dinner's ready. I was going to seminary school at night. I didn't have all that time to spend with the man. But that the underlining issue was I was impatient. And so the Lord had to put me in a spot for a season so that I would listen. And I would cry out to the Lord, and He began to speak to me. And I was reading the Word and watching sermons on television. I began to grow. In that time that I was flat on my back, God had a plan. God had a purpose. I might not have liked it, but maybe that was how He was able to keep me still for a season so that I could grow. Now, listen, we can do that on our own. We don't have to suffer for that. Right? But sometimes we make that happen on our own because we're not surrendering and submitting perhaps to the will of the Lord. I don't know. But to the text here, there are those that would say, you're sick and you don't have enough faith. That's why you're sick. And that's not true. That is twisting Scripture. Or you don't believe in prayer. No, I believe in prayer. I have psoriatic arthritis. There are times that I will spend an entire week, every day is pain management. How am I going to sit? How am I going to stand? It's not going away. And we've prayed to the Lord and we've anointed me with oil. And I believe God can move mountains. But He has chosen not to heal me of this. And so those who would say you don't have enough faith, you don't believe, that's not true. We know that things happen, and sometimes we don't know. Paul had an issue. He calls it a thorn in his side. The Scripture doesn't tell us what it is, which is good, because we could say it could have been anything, right? And he cried out to the Lord, take this from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm not going to heal you of whatever that was. And so when we take Scripture in context, we understand, listen, God is sovereign. He allows things to happen that is sometimes beyond our understanding or our capacity to understand. Because we can't put it together, and sometimes we don't have full understanding. And so what do? Well, we trust in the Lord. We trust in the Lord. And so here, John writes to his friend Gaius with hope and joy in his heart. He says, I wish that you would prosper in your health and as you walk with the Lord, you begin to grow. This personal letter from John to Gaius, and he is greeting Gaius, who is well-loved with this beautiful wish that he would prosper and have good health. And it's interesting that there is a relationship maybe between the prosperity of the soul and the physical well-being. He says, as your soul prospers, doctors are discovering more and more as we study the human body that there are very definite, direct relationships between a person's physical health and their mental well-being. Proverbs tells us, Proverbs 17 verse 22 says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Wow. So if we're always down and sad, then we're actually suppressing the joy that God has put into our hearts. Listen, God has filled us with joy. Why are you not experiencing that joy? He has put it into you. He has poured it into you by His Spirit. So listen, if every day you wake up and go through your misery list, oh, look at all these bad things, you're never going to be happy. You know anybody like that? Now we can look at the thorns on the rose petal, right? Or the rose, and ignore the beautiful flower. We could focus on the thorns. Watch out for those thorns. Be careful of the thorns. And we miss the beauty of God's creation there. So yes, we have things happening in our lives. I'm not saying that things are not serious. They certainly are. But inside your heart is the joy of the Lord. And we can choose to live and walk in that joy and grow in happiness, or we could be miserable. And I think it's interesting that God says that you'll know the Christian by his love for one another. How many have seen that love for one another just blooming in the churches? I don't know. There was a woman who tried to get into the church, and the church counselor kept denying her, and she went home and prayed, and Jesus said, I've been trying to get in that church for a long time too. Listen, it starts with you and the Lord. Stop looking at everybody else. Stop looking at the pastor, the facilities, and what we have to offer, because we certainly want to offer that atmosphere of joy and hope. And when you come in here, I pray somebody's smiling at you and you feel welcome in the church. But that joy will only be for a little while if your joy is not in your heart, if you're not focusing on the joy that's in your heart. I've always told my sons, men don't operate on feelings and emotions. I see some of you women looking at me, but I'm just saying. Men don't operate on feelings and emotions. Why? Because feelings and emotions change. We operate on truth and facts. And the truth is that we're children of the Lord, that the Spirit that dwells within us is a seal and a guarantee of our inheritance. Jesus will usher us into the presence of the Father. No one can take that away. God is not mad at us. We have peace with our Maker. We have access to His throne. He has covered us in righteousness. He has set us on a solid foundation. We should be the happiest people in the world. Let it start today, right? Because John wrote a letter to Gaius, you're hearing this. God had a plan and purpose. While the average child laughs 150 times a day, says researchers at a University of Michigan, the average adult laughs only 15 times. What happened? It's been said that laughter improves any meal. Experts say it adds digestion. They say, well, God has given us laughter. Now, there's times to laugh. Listen, if I'm preaching, don't laugh, right? I don't want you laughing. There's a time and a place for that. God gave us laughter, and it's an outward expression of an inward condition of joy. Did you hear that if you're taking notes? God gave us laughter, and it's an outward expression of an inward condition of joy in our hearts. We need to walk in happiness. Listen, we are so blessed. You could be the poorest person in this church, and you're the richest person on earth compared to other people. Go to another country. Go into the Caribbean. Go to Haiti. Go somewhere and see with your own eyes that the little bit that you have, you're living like kings and queens. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I've seen it, and I've been outside of the United States. And when we come back home, we have refrigerators that give us clean water. Could you imagine this? If you went to some of these places and began to tell them, hey, there's a place called Publix, and any kind of food you want, they have the produce section, and the produce, they have all kinds of different produces, and then there's a meat department, oh my goodness, all kinds of meat, and they cut it for you. You don't have to kill the cow yourself. This is foreign to some people. But listen, don't miss the point. To us, it's every day. Be thankful. Have that joy in your heart. Here's a quote. Happy is the person who can laugh at himself. He will never cease to amuse. To be amused, right? Isn't that true? Verse 3 and 4. For I rejoice greatly that when brethren came and testified of truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I concur with what John is saying here. The greatest joy, I think, of a teacher, a pastor, or a parent is to hear that the students or their children are walking in truth. that you're growing in your faith and that things are happening in your life and people are watching. Listen, he hears, and this is a long way off from where John is. He writes this letter and he says, listen, I've heard that of the truth that you're walking in the truth. And there's no greater joy to know that. And we rejoice in the fact that, listen, as we teach people the Word of God, they begin to grow and walk in faith and hope and truth. At the end of the service, and I'll do it again today, I said, now let's go act. Apply what we've learned. Change anything in your life that is going to hinder you. And then teach it to other people. Teach other people about what you've learned today. Teach other people about the joy in your heart. Let them see it. Listen, this guy I work with, he never said a word about him being a Christian. He never said a word. Now, I don't know if that was good or bad. I'm just saying he never said a word, but his life reflected. Now I can see this was a man of God. And he wasn't shaken by the things that were around him, but he walked in this joy and this newness in his heart. And again, in the same way, there's probably no greater sorrow than to hear that your students or your children have turned from the truth and caught up in some crazy doctrine or heresy. That happens as well. Send your kids to college. Watch what happens when they get back. Gaius walked in truth because brethren came and testified of truth that was in him. Others noticed his walk of truth, and they could talk about it because they saw it. Listen, when people look at your life, what do they say? Don't answer that. Because I don't have to know. You're not representing me. You're not representing Calvary Chapel, Pompano Beach. You're representing Jesus Christ and the Father. You're His children. And as we walk in this truth of Scriptures, I'm sure He's joyful as well. Spurgeon says this means more than living with correct doctrine. What it is to walk in truth, it is not walking in the truth, or else some would suppose it meant that John was overjoyed because they were sound in the doctrine and cared little for anything else. His joyous survey did include the orthodoxy and creed, but it reached far beyond that. He's saying, listen, it's just not the knowledge of what you know and you believe, but that you're walking in it. Why? Because people are seeing that. You're affecting other people's lives. What does it mean to walk in the truth? It means that you're loving other people, that you're caring for other people, that you're people-centered. We spoke Wednesday night as we're going through the book of Romans. How often we're so quick to point out other people's sins and their sins look so bad because they're doing it, but when we sin, it's not that bad, right? And the illustration is that you have a speck in your eye and I have a plank in my eye. But listen, if we walk in this truth, well, what is the truth? To love God with all your body, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If I'm loving him as myself, what does it say? That love overlooks sins, that I can overlook these things. They're not going to stand out, and I'm not going to judge that person, and that's not the first thing I'm going to see. Oh, I may pray for them, but we're all on solid ground. We're all on even ground, right? I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. We're going to love each other. Well, I'm going to treat you as you're better than me, right? But at the cross, we're all equal. All children of God, walking with God. So Gaius is an encourager. Why? He's walking in the truth. His life is showing that. It's reflecting him on him. It's his reputation. So one of the conditions in being ordained as a pastor, depending on the organization, is that your reputation, and it says in Scripture in Timothy and Titus as well, that you have a good reputation outside of the ministry, not just in the ministry. Oh, you can be a great servant in the church, but you're calling in sick every other day at work and your life doesn't reflect it at work. Wait a minute, what does the outside people know about you? Because we want to know that too, right? How are you walking? Not just in the church, because we can fool everybody in the church, but it's all the time. And we may fall, we may slip. I'm not saying We're not perfect, but listen, what does your life look like? As we walk in this truth, people begin to watch us. To walk in truth means to walk consistent with truth that you believe what the Word says. If you believe that you are fallen, then you'll walk aweary in your fallenness, right? Oh, woe is me. There's that Eeyore guy. Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh, right? You ever been around those people? Why is he that way? Why is he that way? Why is he boom, boom? Why is he so miserable? Because he's walking in that fallenness of life. Listen, we could all say, oh, we're sinners, and oh, we've been born in this place of sin. It's a miserable place. We can go down our misery list, or I can be joyful in the Lord as I, no matter where I'm at, praise the Lord. God is sovereign. We're going to get through this. It's a season of life. We're going to grow, and we're going to become stronger. And we're going to love one another. We're going to change people's lives. Why? Because we're going to smile at them and we're going to say, good morning. How you doing today? And not just to say, how you doing, but really want to know, hey, how are you doing? We've missed you. You haven't been here. What's going on in your life? And though we may not make that phone call, we're praying for you and we're caring for one another. That's walking in truth. It's walking as a believer does. I've been to Lowe's several times in the last couple months where they didn't charge me for an item or so. And I would tell them, hey, you forgot this. And they would look at me like I have three heads. Seriously. Like, what are you, crazy? You want to pay for that? Yeah, I want to pay for that. Absolutely. That's walking. And I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just saying, listen, that's part of the life. It's called a worldview. What is your worldview? Your worldview is that you look at everything you do through the Bible. All aspects of your life. The Gnostics didn't do that. They said that, listen, the physical is evil, so we can have sex and do whatever we want, and we can have prostitutes and do whatever we want, because, listen, we're living in this evil body, but the spiritually we're okay. No, that's not the truth. That's not the truth of the Word, right? Our belief and our relationship with the Lord is reflected on what? Our actions. If I have that relationship with the Lord, then I'm going to want to treat you better than myself. And I'm really going to want to care for you and what's happening in your life. And I want to be there if you have any needs. And I want to pray for you that you would grow in your walk with the Lord. And I'm not going to give up on you. God hasn't given up on me. Listen, there was people that were praying for me. My parents were praying for me before I became a believer. What if they would have given up? I don't know. But they didn't. Keep praying. God can change anyone. You know, after Saul was struck down, God told him to go to the place. The disciples said, oh no, don't go by him. He's a persecutor of Christians. God said, but he prays. There was something happening in his life that began to change, that people saw it. The Christians began to see, this is not the same man that we used to know. He's not doing the same things that he used to do. He's not treating us the same way that he used to do. Why? What happened? Well, he began to change. God was working in his life. He was now walking as a Christian. He was walking by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul wrote most of the New Testament. God instructed him to tell us how do we live? How does the church function? If we have a problem with somebody, what do? Well, you go to them one-on-one. He gives us remedies. What happened in his life? It was changed by God. Listen, your life has been changed by God. I believe that because you're here today. Now, there may be several things in your life that would take you off course, but get back due north. Go to the Word. It brings you right. That compass brings you straight, right? Let the Lord bring you in right relationship with Him as we begin to walk and as we begin to grow. If you believe you're a child of God, then you'll walk like a child of heaven. People will know you by your love for one another. Are we loving people? If you believe you're forgiven, then you'll walk like a forgiven person, right? Oh, wow, I can't judge you. I used to do worse than that, and God loves me. Wow. If we think that way, we'll really understand that God loves us so much that He was willing to give His all. So, and this is amazing to me, so that He could be with us forever. Sin separated us from God. Jesus came and paid the price for our sin so that we could be with Him forever. God wants us to be with him forever. Not just for a little while. You ever be around somebody, you can take about 10 minutes with them, and then you got to go, right? You ever been around those people? Maybe it's a family event, and you know, there's some relatives that are in town. Hey, you know, half hour of this, and we got to go. But God wants to be with us forever. That's amazing. And that should really change our heart and our desire, right? To serve the Lord, to love the Lord, to walk in this truth. It means to walk in a way that is real. It's genuine. It's genuine. How do we know it's genuine? Because you're still doing it. You're here year after year, week after week, day after day, praying to the Lord. Your life is continuously changing. Yo, you're not perfect and you may slide back, but get back on track and walking with the Lord. You begin to grow in that walk. Verses 5 through 7. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on the journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. John praised Gaius in his hospitality as he's sending off ministers. This is practical outworking and essential command to love one another. And it's, listen, what is it? It's love in action. It's love in action. Listen, there's a lot of things that the church is doing that needs financial and prayer support. Nothing is free. There's expenses to everything that we do. And collectively, we do it together. And so it's love in action. I love the Lord, so I want to serve the Lord. Listen, if you don't have money to support the radio ministry or the financial church, then we need your prayers. We need whatever God has given you. This isn't a money pitch. It's a prayer pitch. We want your prayers. Whatever the Lord has done in your life that you can give back to serving him, we need that. And it's love in action. It's not just words. It's not just words. It's action. There was this great compliment. You do faithfully whatever you do. Whatever God gives us to do, we should do it faithfully. Jesus said that when we will be face to face with him, some will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." This is in Matthew 25. Of this good servant, it was said that he was faithful. It's faithfulness. God's looking for your faithfulness continually, not just when you feel like it. Because there's many times in the morning I may wake up and, man, let me call Ron. He can fill in for me this morning. Right? Got a headache, tired, worked. But as we persevere, we realize that the important things is our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with one another. Listen, if everybody called in sick on Sundays, there would be nobody here to do the service in the church, right? And if everybody in the pews didn't feel like coming, there'd be nobody to preach to. But it's collectively as we're faithful to the Lord. That's what he's looking for, faithfulness. It's your love in action as you serve God, right? If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well. John knew that when the Christians assisted those who were content for the truth, they become fellow workers for the truth. Now, we're running out of time, and I have so much more to go over. Jesus said, "He who receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." This should make us consider how we receive and help those who are preaching the gospel. Because the command was to go and make disciples. Well, not everybody can go. But the ones that do go need support, right? Now, I have friends that are missionaries out in the field. And they're constantly looking for financial support. Why? Well, there's been a lot of people who say, "Hey, we'll support you." And after the second or third month, they stop sending checks. And these are in some places that you can't work because you don't live in the country. So you can't financially support yourself. So you're dependent upon the people back here in the States. And so if those who said, yes, I will continue to support you, were faithful, then ministry can go forth. And so as we close here, I have so much more to go over. We'll pick it up next week. I pray, listen, that you would have the understanding that as John wrote to Gaius, that God's desire for us is that we would be faithful and that people would see our walk. I want Calvary Chapel Pompano Beach to be known as a church that when you walk in, man, they love on you. They're hugging and kissing you. Can't wait to see you. That not only that, but that we're effective in the community, that we're walking outside of these doors and we're praying, we're helping people. And then inside the church, we have prayer teams and ministries and pastoral counseling so that we can help you along the way. And that we're faithful in that. As just, now, we don't do it just for the holiday weekend, but week in and week out, we're here to serve you. And my prayer is that you would serve those around you as well. Amen.